Good night and welcome to our Wednesday night meeting here in Refreling Baptist Church. We do thank you for joining with us, and we trust that indeed that the Word of God will be a blessing to you this evening. For those connected with the church in Refreling, we're hoping to have a Zoom prayer meeting immediately after this meeting this evening. So do wait for an invitation and join with us as we seek to have a time of prayer and how our country needs prayer at this time and how we need to pray for each other. So I would invite you to do so this evening and join with us. Let's come to Psalm 23 tonight. Surely, if there's any psalm that we could turn to at a time like this, surely it's Psalm 23. And over the next few weeks, I just want to spend a number of evenings on this beautiful, wonderful, majestic Psalm 23. Let's read it together this evening. Psalm 23, and we'll read all of the psalm together this evening. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's just take a few moments to ask for God's blessing upon the word this evening. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, we thank you for every word inspired by the Spirit of God. And yet, Lord, surely Psalm 23 is a special portion to us all this evening. And so, Lord, we realize tonight we're handling something precious. Lord, we would dare even to take off our shoes, for we're standing in holy ground. But, Lord, we do pray that this beautiful psalm will be an encouragement and a blessing to all who listen this evening. And, Lord, may it help us through these difficult, testing and trying times. Remember those who need special touch from thee. Lord, draw nigh to them. Those who have been bereaved in recent days, Lord, will you comfort them? And Lord, may they know those everlasting arms around about and underneath. For those who are unwell, Lord, will you put your healing touch upon them and bless them in these days. Remember again our health service. Remember those who are fighting this battle at the coalface. And we just pray, Lord, you'll bless them and strengthen them and bless those who are unwell. And Lord, we just commit all lovingly and graciously to thee and continue with us now. For it's in our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. A famous actor once made an after-dinner speech. He was asked by one of the attendees, who happened to be a retired minister, to quote Psalm 23, and he did so. And when he had done so, he indeed received an ovation from the audience. Then the old minister, he got up, and he began to quote Psalm 23. And there wasn't a dry eye in the gathering. Someone remarked that the difference was the actor knew the 23rd Psalm, but the old retired minister, he knew the shepherd of the Psalm. Without doubt, this is one of the best known Psalm in all of God's Word. Someone has said the world could spare many a large book better than this sunny little Psalm. It's a Psalm that's full of comfort and assurance. It's full of provision and promise, and indeed it has been a blessing to the people of God for over 3,000 years. A psalm that can be used in days of prosperity. A psalm that can be used in days of adversity. Now, a psalm is there when there's times of celebration. A psalm that we need in these days of coronavirus. A psalm for the mourning. A psalm for the rejoicing. A psalm for the sick, the sad, for those who are delighting, for those who are depressed. A psalm for joy or a psalm for sorrow. A psalm in triumph and a psalm in tragedy. This psalm has been a tonic to many, many precious souls. Did David write it as a young boy when he was having those experiences as a shepherd? Well, he may well have done so. Did he write it as an old man looking back over his years and reflecting on the testimony of the goodness and the graciousness and the blessing of God? Did he write it when he faced Goliath? Is verse 4 and 5 typical of that experience? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And you can see how that would tie in with David going down that valley to face the mighty Goliath in those days. Of course, the name of this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," is one of those titles of the Lord where the name Jehovah is linked with another word. Jehovah Roi is "The Lord is my shepherd." We would know some of them this evening. Jehovah Jireh, "The Lord will provide." Jehovah Rapha, "The Lord that healeth." Jehovah Shalom, "The Lord our peace." Jehovah Tsidkenu, "The Lord our righteousness." Jehovah Shammah, "The Lord ever present." Jehovah Nissi, "The Lord our banner." Indeed, if you take those compound names of Jehovah, you can actually bring them into this psalm. Jehovah Roi, "The Lord is my shepherd," that's obvious. Jehovah Jireh, "The Lord will provide, I shall not want." Jehovah Rapha, "The Lord that healeth, he restoreth my soul." Jehovah Shalom, "The Lord our peace, he leadeth me beside the still waters." Jehovah Tsidkenu, "The Lord our righteousness, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." Jehovah Shammah, "The Lord is present, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Jehovah Nissi, "The Lord our banner, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." We don't know when David wrote this majestic psalm, but it doesn't really matter, because it's a blessing regardless of the circumstances this evening. Some people debate whether the word "is" should be in the first line, "The Lord is my shepherd," but one thing is sure, he is our shepherd at this moment. Whether you're young or old, whether you're sick or healthy, rich or poor, no matter where we find you this evening, if you know and love Jesus Christ, you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." I just want to look at that first phrase together this evening, "The Lord is my shepherd." Three simple points tonight for you. Jehovah, my shepherd. How powerful. How pastoral. How personal. The Lord is my shepherd. Think first of all about how powerful. The name we have for God here is the name Jehovah, the Lord. That name, of course, is a compound name for God. It has three ideas built into it. It's a God who will be in the future, a God who is now present, and a God who has been. He will be, he is, and he has been. When you put it all together, this name is a God who is always present, always existed, who has no ending, who has no beginning. He is the eternal, mighty, powerful God. The Jews would reverence the name Jehovah so much that they feared even to mention it. Leviticus 24, verse 16. "He that blasphemeth the name of the Lord," the name of Jehovah, "he shall surely be put to death." This name is a precious name, a name that the world curses. But when we come tonight to realize who Jehovah is, how powerful tonight, surely if ever we needed to be reminded that we've got a mighty God this evening, surely it's now. In the midst of this worldwide crisis, in the midst of your own crisis, in the midst of your isolation, you can look upwards and say, "The Lord, Jehovah, the self-existing God, the one who's the same yesterday, today and forever. No past, no future with God, no was or will be. He has nothing to learn, he has nothing to acquire, he has nothing to become. He is everything. He is the beginning and he is the ending this evening." The name Jehovah doesn't appear in scripture until after the creation of man. The word Elohim is used for the Lord when it comes to the creation of the earth and the creation of the animals. And it's only used after the creation of man. Incidentally and interestingly, on the Lord's Day evening when we looked at the subject of blessed isolation and the days of Noah, we read in Genesis 7 verse 16, "And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God," that is Elohim, "had commanded him, and the Lord," that's Jehovah, "shut him," Noah and his family, "shut Noah and his family in." It suggests that this name has a special relationship with man. Remember, we're made in the image of God, a powerful, self-existing, ever-existing God has an interest in you and I tonight. This name reminds us of the holiness of God. Exodus 15 verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness? This is the name that's used of God when he judges sin. It was used of Sodom in Genesis 19 verse 23. The sun was arisen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord Jehovah rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. This is a God who has an interest in mankind. This is a God who is holy. This is a God who hates sin. But listen, he's a God who loves the sinner. Remember, as we've already noticed, it was Jehovah who shut Noah into the ark. When we come to the New Testament, we discover that Jesus Christ is Jehovah. In Exodus 17, verse 2, we read there where they tempted the Lord, and it's Jehovah. When you come into the New Testament, Moses speaking of those incidents said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9, Paul speaking of those incidents, neither let us tempt Christ. And the picture is that the Christ of the New Testament is Jehovah of the Old Testament. We have the same thing in Isaiah chapter 6. You remember the vision that Isaiah had. It begins in Isaiah 6 verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. You know, the king was dead. No doubt Isaiah was concerned. Our prime minister's in hospital, and no doubt people are concerned. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, that's Adonai, sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. It stood above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Jehovah of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And here is Isaiah given a vision of the Lord. I wonder, was Isaiah concerned? The king had died. But listen, God's still alive. And no matter what happens, our prime minister, and we hope he gets better, no matter what happens, the world leaders, our God's on the throne, and he's alive. He's alive. You know, when we come into the New Testament in John 12, verse 31, we read this. These things said Isaiah, when he saw the glory and spake of him. Who was he speaking about? He was speaking about Christ. Christ of the New Testament is Jehovah of the Old Testament. You know, every time the Lord Jesus used that phrase, I am, he was claiming to be Jehovah. John 8 verse 58, before Abraham was, I am. You know, that's impossible. Grammatically, it doesn't make sense. Before Abraham was, I am. But theologically, it's so rich and such a blessing. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life. When he said, I am the light of the world, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth and the life, I am the true vine, the great I am. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. You know, I am the bread of life. He sustains us. Do you need to be reminded of that this evening? He says, I am the light of the world. We're living in dark days, but you know, his light can guide us. I am the door. You know, when you're inside the door, you're safe. That's what we're being told. He protects us. He sustains us. He guides us. He says, I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep and am known of mine. You know, he loves us. He sustains us and guides us and protects us and loves us. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. We're coming up to Easter when we'll be reminded that Jesus rose from the dead. And you know, he lives in the power of an endless life. And that power is ours. He empowers us tonight. He says, I am the way, the truth and the life. He saves us. He said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. He enriches us. The great I am this evening, in the midst of this virus calamity, can sustain us and guide us and protect us. He loves us, empowers us, saves us and enriches us. Oh, tonight remember, Jesus Christ is Jehovah. The Lord Jehovah. We would do well tonight to remember how powerful he is. We would do well to remember his holiness, his hatred of sin, and his love for the sinners. Indeed, that's why Jesus Christ came, and he was God manifest in flesh. What a way to start tonight, the Lord. What a way tonight when you think of what we're going through and what people are having to suffer and endure. What a way tonight just to come to Psalm 23 and the first words are the Lord. The Lord tonight. Oh, how powerful tonight. Does that not do your heart good? The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, how pastoral tonight. You know, the idea of God being a shepherd, many believe the first hint at it is in Genesis 48 verse 15. And this is old Jacob, and it says he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed, and the idea there is the God who shepherded me all my life long unto this day. Listen, Jacob was 147 years old. And he looks back over his life and he says, God has shepherded me every day of every year of my life. And he's coming to his deathbed and he looks back and he says, even to this day, he's the God who shepherded me. The psalmist said in Psalm 74 verse 1, O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why dost thine anger smote against the sheep of thy pasture? You can see God is the shepherd. Isaiah 40 verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather his lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. And you know, Jesus Christ, the New Testament shepherd is the same as Jehovah, the Old Testament shepherd. What a beautiful picture. So powerful Jehovah, so caring as the shepherd. You know, there are seven named shepherds in the Bible, and these shepherds tell us something. Most of them tell us something about Christ. The first one mentioned is Abel, Genesis 4 verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. You know, Abel was slain by wicked hands. Remember, his brother killed him. Surely it reminds us that our shepherd would one day lay down his life for the sheep. What a shepherd we have this evening. You know, you have Abel, and then you have Jacob, Genesis 33, verse 13. And he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them, one day all the flocks will die. And here's Jacob as the shepherd, and he shows the tender care he had for the sheep. You see in Abel, you see the shepherd who would die. You know, in Jacob, you see the tender care for the sheep. Joseph was a shepherd. Genesis 37 verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And here we see Joseph as a shepherd feeding the flock. Doesn't our shepherd sustain us and feed us? Haven't we already said that? Don't we feed upon his precious word? You have got Abel and you've got Jacob and you've got Joseph. Moses, of course, was a shepherd. Exodus 3 verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. You can see that Moses kept the flock and he led the flock. Isn't that what our shepherd does? David was a shepherd. Do you remember in 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 34? And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And you can see that, goes on to say, the servant slew both the lion and the bear. David jeopardized his life for the sheep. You can see he protected the sheep. Aren't these all pictures of what our shepherd does for us? You know, there's a sixth shepherd that's mentioned in Zechariah. He's called the idol shepherd. But you know, he is the Antichrist. And that's not something I'm going to go into this evening, but he happens to be the sixth one mentioned. When we come to the seventh shepherd, we move into the New Testament, Matthew 9 verse 36. And when he, Jesus Christ, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Jesus Christ, as the seventh shepherd in the Bible, is the perfect shepherd of the sheep. And he takes all of the qualities. He will die for us. He feeds us. He guides us. He keeps us. He protects us. What a shepherd we have in Christ tonight. John 10 verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, that reminds us of his crucifixion. He has given his life for the sheep. The Old Testament shepherd You know, the sheep died for the shepherd, like the Passover. But here the shepherd will die for the sheep. He's the good shepherd. That takes us to his crucifixion. You know, he's the great shepherd. Hebrews 13 verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. And here it's tied with his resurrection. You see, he's the good shepherd in the crucifixion. He's the great shepherd in the resurrection. And because he's alive, we have victory over sin day by day. He delivers us from the very power of sin. The good shepherd delivers us from the penalty of sin. The great shepherd from the power of sin. But you know, there's another name for Christ. 1 Peter 5 verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear. This speaks not of his crucifixion or his resurrection, but that anticipation, that expectation that Jesus Christ will come again. You know, as the good shepherd, he has delivered us from the penalty of sin. He died for us. As the great shepherd, he has delivered us from the power of sin. We've got resurrection power. As the chief shepherd, he's coming again. And one day he'll take us from the very presence of sin. I have a shepherd tonight. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. Seven things a shepherd was expected to do for his flock. He was to know his sheep. He was to find good pasture for them. He was to watch over them. He was to feed them. He was to defend them. He was to carry the weak and the feeble ones until they were strong. He was to rejoice when the erring ones were brought home. Luke 15 verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Of course, that's the story the Lord told about the man who went in search of the one sheep that was missing from the fold. We can say tonight, we can sing tonight, I have a shepherd, one I love so well. Nothing can harm me when he leads the way, darkness or sunshine, whatever befall, Jesus the shepherd. Thank God he's my all in all. You see tonight, Jehovah, oh how powerful tonight. He is able tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. How pastoral tonight. He's willing tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. How powerful he's able. How pastoral he's willing. But you know, the word my tells me how personal he's mine tonight. Oh, it's good that he's able and it's good that he's willing just to be able to say he's mine. How sinners like you and I, saved by grace, can rejoice tonight, the Lord is my shepherd. How can we say it tonight? Well, you know, if you look back into Psalm 22, look at verse number 1. Because we've been to Psalm 22, we can take Psalm 23. You know, Psalm 22 is all about Calvary. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Because we've been in Psalm 22, because we've been to Calvary, we can say tonight with a rock solid assurance tonight, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, sheep are so different than many other animals. Sheep are an object of property. They can't survive in the wild. That means they have to be owned by someone. They have to be purchased by someone. You know, tonight we are owned. We belong to the Lord. And we were purchased with the price of his precious, precious blood. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 100 verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, sheep can't train themselves. They're defenseless. They have no sense of direction. If they're turned upside down, it's likely they would die. They're easily disturbed. Little things will frighten them. They're prone to stray. They're weak. They have very little strength. You know, aren't we just sheep tonight? How we need a shepherd. And surely tonight, if ever we needed a shepherd, we need him tonight. Mummies need a shepherd. Daddies need a shepherd. How our little families need a shepherd tonight. How we need one that will look over us and help us and be there for us through this virus situation and all our weakness. We can lean on the strength of our shepherd. You know, he's not just a shepherd. Many of the world religious founders would claim to be a shepherd. He's not even just this shepherd, and that sets him apart from others, but to be able to say my shepherd. That's what makes Christianity so special. We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Lord tonight, Jehovah, how powerful tonight.
How mighty tonight. He's able tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. How pastoral tonight. He cares for us tonight. He's able. He's willing. Oh, how personal. The Lord is my shepherd. He is mine tonight. How precious that truth is tonight.
A little boy stood up in front of his classroom. They were asked to say what they wanted to be when they would grow up. He says, when I grow up, I'm going to be a lion tamer. And I will step in the midst of the lions, and when they're roaring and they're so fierce. And then he was thinking about it for a moment. But he says, you know, I'm going to make sure my mummy's with me. And of course, little ones look to mummy for protection and love and care and concern. And you know, tonight, when we're in the lion's den, when we're facing the roaring lion, remember, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And no doubt, he wants to play in our minds, and he wants to get into our hearts, and he wants to disturb the peace that God has given to us. You know, we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. And we can look the old devil in the face. And we're not saying tonight, my mommy's with me. We're saying, my Savior's with me. Because the Lord is my shepherd. I'm sure you've all heard the story about the little girl who misquoted Psalm 23 verse 1. She didn't say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. She said this, the Lord is my shepherd, that is all I want. I can't put it any better than that tonight. Surely Psalm 23 has been a special psalm for years. Surely tonight of all nights and all situations and all circumstances, I can't come to anything better than Psalm 23. I don't think we can beat it. I hope it helps you tonight and over these next few weeks when we spend a little time in Psalm 23. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we've got a wonderful shepherd. Thank you tonight, Lord, we can talk about the good shepherd, and Lord, it thrills our hearts. We can talk about the great shepherd, and Lord, it empowers us tonight. We can even tonight talk about the chief shepherd is coming back for us. But Lord, to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. We can stare this virus in the face. And come what may, we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, may this truth be a blessing to God's people this evening. For it's in our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen.